Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
This morning I get the opportunity to take you on a little journey of faith about New Song Community Church. And the object of this particular thing is not to give you kind of a history, but to give you a faith infusion of how God has been faithful to this church from the very beginning. Matter of fact, I want to let you know there's some folks that have hung around with us for a long period. Anyone who's been here over 30 years, raise your hand. Over 30 years. We got a bunch of folks here for over 30. Well, let me take you to the beginning. I was working as an associate pastor of a church over in Southeast Portland. And without going into a lot of details, the way New Song got started, I got fired. So you said, ooh, you, yeah, ooh, we was right, too. Ooh, we, oh, me. But let me give you a little history behind that, because the situation was, it was a doctrinal type thing, and they said either you kind of do this thing or you're out of here. But the way it was done was really interesting. It was a Wednesday night service, and we were all gathered there, and I kind of knew the axe was going to fall, but I didn't know it was going to fall quite this way. We're at the Wednesday night service. And at the end of the service, the pastor there says, by the way, Richard Probasco is leaving, and anyone who wants to leave with him, meet him in the basement. Church is dismissed. Honest truth. That's the way it happened. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I went downstairs rather sheepishly. I said, Lord, don't let anybody show up. I realized, because this is good, nice exit strategy, I'm good, you know. And because my wife was expecting our first child, Cayenne, and she was going to deliver in October, and you know, I told her she could quit work and this type of thing, and this wasn't exactly my outline of how things are going to work. Lo and behold, I hear this footsteps coming down, thinking, oh, Lord Jesus. 33 people show up. No, but get this, 16 of them are unemployed. Doesn't that sound good? We're talking about faith walk. And so I had a solution. I said, God, I know how we're going to do this. You know, oh, well, I used to work with corporate. I was International Harvest. So I'll call them up, get back on the corporate team, get myself in this particular thing. God said, you ain't doing nothing. I got this. Now, I know he didn't say it back then, and we started using that phrase now, but he said, I got this, and I'm just bringing it to you right now. Okay? And so I'm thinking, wait a minute. I told my wife she could quit work. She was making more money than I was working for the government. And so the situation was, and this is the first faith thing I'm going to put into. From the very first day that we started to this day, I have been full-time employed by New Song Community Church. My wife quit her job in October, and God and you folks, by faith, have taken care of us for all 40 years. I'm grateful. I am so grateful. So, let me start on a little journey here. The rest of the stuff doesn't really matter. Take me to my first slide here. My very first slide is the corner of 11th and Multnomah. And then you can go to the next one real quickly, because it'll show you the actual place. That's kind of an aerial view of then back in 1977 of the Sheraton Hotel. Somebody say, Lloyd Center. Lovely place. Okay, another shot of it. We're right in the Contiki room. You could have a beverage before or after. I mean, no, we were right outside of it. But this is the place where we started. And the interesting thing about it was, there's one person who had faith in us. And I don't mind mentioning his name because you know, I was broke. So he loaned me $100 to rent the room that we had our first meeting in. Now, I'm just telling you, this is a faith walk. And so we were there for a matter of a couple of weeks, and then we moved to another transitional place. And we don't have a picture of that one, doesn't matter. But would you take to the next slide, please? The corner of Mason and Albina. And go to the next slide, and I'll give you kind of a picture of what it is. House of Prayer for All Nations Church. That was a church that I grew up in from the time I was a little kid. My grandfather, Bishop Robert Searcy, was my mentor throughout my life. And before that time, before New Song started, I was at Maranatha Church for 10 years. I worked with them, New Covenant, for 3 years. And been here for 40 years. Do the math. I've been around a while. Okay. But this House of Prayer for All Nations Church, and they graciously allowed us to have our service at 5:30 in the evening in between their services. And so we were able to have that particular facility. And they were so gracious to us. They said, we want you to succeed. And we were there almost a year. And so that being the case, we hung out that particular place. And then let's go to the next slide. Then we went to our little resting place on Thompson and 82nd. Anybody remember Thompson and 82nd? Thompson and 82nd. Yes, Lord. That was an interesting bit. Well, show them the slide of what the building looked like. There you go. It says for sale. This is a picture about 10 years ago. It was for sale when we entered into the place. Well, here's a story about that. It was called the Glen Haven Baptist Church. And so I called up I saw the for sale sign out there back in those days. And so I called up the moderator for that particular district. His name was Marshall Shirer. That's a name you just don't really forget. And I said, my name's Pastor Vasco, and there's a place you have over on 82nd, and we need a place for us to meet, and would you consider renting us the building? He says, son, let me tell you something. It's a preacher killer. I said, it's a what? Yes, he did. He said, it's a preacher killer. He said, we built that church. He says, there's never been a church that's lasted there over a year. It's a preacher killer. I said, I'm up to the task, because we didn't have any place. I said, well, he says, all right. And he was ridiculous, you know, and actually for the market value, that he did charge us quite a bit of money. I think he's trying to kill me. But anyway, so we moved this particular building, and it held about maybe, on a good day, maybe 125 people. And the children's ministry area was as big as a closet. So you just put a tag on your kid and you put in a slot and you get it back later. Seriously, that's how it was. You know? And so we had the slot room, then we had a little bit of room downstairs for the kids again to play. So we were there for a couple of months, and then all of a sudden we said, well, we need to do another service. And then we need to do another service. It got so full in the church that there were people sitting, I'm preaching, people are sitting here, the choir loft is filled with people who do not sing, that was interesting. And then they had, the baptistry is filled with people with chairs in the baptistry. And so that's kind of the story with that particular place. But let me show you what it looks like today. When we left, it went back to its original designated place. It was a preacher killer, and no church ever survived there. Now, Taco Bell will take care of it. So the next part of the story, it's even more fun. So we're in the place, and the church is kind of filling up, and we said, well, we need to find this place, and we're saving a little bit of money and this type of thing. Just fast forward to the idea that I said, there was a place, it was called the Second Church of Christ Scientists, Christian Science Church, at the Lloyd Center. And really nice building, and congregational rule building, and they wanted $288,000 for that building. And so we said, and back in those days, they were not loaning money to churches, number one. The interest rate was 14%. Uh-huh. And we had no history as far as that's concerned. And so we met with the people there, and said, well, yeah, we'll sell your church, but it'll be $288,000 cash. Well, you know, that puts us out of the market. I said, well, thank you very much. I kind of moved on. I said, well, we're not going to have a church. So that's all there is to it. So I'm sitting in my office one day, and the telephone rings, and the guy that was a realtor for us, he says, I found the perfect church for you. He says, on 6th and Holiday. So go to the next slide, please. Holiday, 6th Avenue. He says, I said, don't even tell me. I know the story. $288,000, they want cash money, we don't have cash money. And this is what he said to me, he says, if you could buy that church, what would be your terms? And I was feeling frisky that day. I said, I'll tell you what, it's about February now. I'll tell you what, tell them, I'll give them $144,000 down, and I want interest rate of 10%. I want to move in on the 28th of, I think, in November, and I'll have give them a five-year amortization that will have I'll pay off in 5 years. And I said, no, I'll give you a little earnest money. So I gave him a check for $30,000, knowing it's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. Because I was thinking, this is kind of fun, you know? And of course, it took him a month before to say no. And so telephone rings about 3 weeks later. Pastor Vasco, I talked to the folks, and you now have bought a building. And I said to myself, I am now going to jail. Get off the handcuffs. I didn't consult with anybody but Jesus, and I didn't tell anybody what's going on. Oh, it was, I said, and my children don't need me. But anyway, so I tell the elders of the church this time, that's exciting. I'm thinking, exciting? What are you talking about exciting? We ain't got that kind of money. But let me just fast forward to the idea. We had 6 months to raise $144,000. Well, we actually at that point had about $90,000. But so we had to raise another $50,000. Plus we had to put another $25,000 in the building to retrofit it so we could have something for our kids. And I want to tell you that God came through. But let me tell you the way he came through. This is a faith message to you. Came time for the closing on the 25th of the month and this type of thing. And we made an investment in California. I won't go through all the details on that, but we made a lot of money off it. Enough money that we would have been able to close with the building with our $144,000. If you want to know, ask me privately later on. And we weren't investing in shares in casinos. So let me tell you that right now. Tell you that up front. So anyway, but it comes to the day of closing. And the money that we had was coming from the government did not come through. Surprise! Let's see. It was HUD investment and that type of thing. And so I said, oh no, they got our money. We can't close on the place. We don't have no place to move and this type of thing. Another faith I was saying, Lord, what shall we do? And God says, this is what he said. He says, well, just go talk it over with the guy who got you this investment and see what will happen. So I said, well, you know, we got to close our building next week and we don't have all the money. We're supposed to get it and this type of thing. The guy looks at me, he looks down at his desk, looks at me again, reaches in his desk drawer, writes out a check for $144,000, says, give it back to me when you get it. That sealed the deal. Amen. God did it again. So let me show you the building. Next slide. That's the building. Now you folks are seeing the sanctified version. It used to be called, how many of you remember what it used to be called? The Pink Palace. It was an atrocious flamingo pink. Everybody said, the church was, oh, you mean that pink church on the corner of 6th and Holland? Know exactly where it is. We were in that building before there was a MAX train. And after the MAX train got installed, people thought Jesus was coming and the altars were flooded. Because every time they go back, isn't that right? And everything starts shaking. Altar calls were great back then. I'd always time them with the MAX train coming by. I was like, oh, call on the altar, you know. So we moved in there in 1981, and we were there until 98, but there's a story in between that. So that's a bigger building. But let me show you what it looks like now. That's what's there now. An investment company bought it from us and they built those high-rise apartments there. Now here's a story, there's a story behind that too. The company that gave us half of our money, they still owe us $500,000, but they moved to Florida so we can't get it. But you know what? I believe before they die, God gonna give us our $500,000 back. Thank you, Jesus. So, I gotta move quickly here, but I don't wanna miss some of the things along the way. So we're in that building for a while. There's zero parking. But then I think it was Kaiser moved into the building behind us. And while we were there, the Lloyd 500 building was built. The Lloyd's 700 building was built. The other tower was built while we were there. So that means it was zero parking at various places. But Kaiser Permanente moved into the facility there. And they said, well, we'll help you out. We'll give you a pass. You can park your people here. on the days, after hours and on weekends, and that's how we survived that whole period of time. God gave us favor with them. Give the Lord a big hand for that. But again, the facility wasn't what we needed, and so we're at a particular place, and so now it's time to make our final move to where you are today. And so we're going before the Lord, and a building came up, and it was the Egyptian Theater. Right now, you're sitting in the Egyptian Theater. Let me show you a picture of what it looked like. That's on Russell. That's the opening night at Draper's Egyptian Theater in 1927. That was the opening night. People are lined up for the very first time. And note the fact that the name Grapers is up there. It has some significance to it. And I'll tell you about that later. So, built in 1927. This is during the WPA time, Works for Public Program. And the building was actually built, get this, in 90 days from start to finish. I should have put the picture up here. When they were building this building, all these walls are in this picture. This is the section right here, is the Egyptian Theater. They had scaffolding, this type of thing. It looked like an ant farm. Because there were so many people working on it. And so that was the opening night. Go to the next picture, please. That's what it looked like. Graver's Egyptian Theater. And then had other little buildings off to the side of it, because that's kind of the entrance. If you were entering from MLK Street, you'd go right into what we call where our prayer areas, and would go right straight into the building. I've got to tell you a little bit of dark history about that building. In the year of 1963, in Portland, Oregon, there were race riots. Race riots to the point where the Egyptian Theater shut down in 63. Let me tell you why. Because the owners of this particular facility had a rule that the African Americans or black people in this area, which they dominated this whole area, if they wanted to attend the theater, they could only sit in the balcony. They could not sit on the main floor. And so finally, in 1963, the court came out of the bottle, and there was rioting in the streets, and they kind of trashed the outside of the building. And so it was closed down, and nothing was going on from 1963 until we found out about this building in 1991. Well, interestingly enough, when I came into this building for the very first time, we came in through the balcony. There were no seats in the building. All the seats were trashed out. There were sodium vapor lights up here. It was being used as a warehouse. It was owned by Med Labs Incorporated, and they were using this to store old tires and other types of things. And the building that you see as the community center now was their laboratory, and this was nothing but a warehouse. It was actually scheduled to be torn down in 91. I remember coming up into the balcony area up there, looking out in this particular area. And what you see right now is what I saw in the spirit of what this building was going to look like. Seriously. And we had people dedicated, because all the sconces you see around those lights in here, they were all torn to pieces. So we had people that worked night and day, and one lady, she had worked for a dental lab, and so she and another fellow made the molds. So we refabricated and remolded all of the sconces in here, all of the leaf work on the pillars in the back. Then we replicated them so they'd all match out there in the foyer. And all of this was done by volunteer labor. It took them 9 months, but they did it all in Jesus' name. It's a part of the story. It just, I can't leave that out. So it turned out that we were able to purchase this building for $910,000. You're thinking, oh boy, where'd you get that kind of money? Well, we didn't. Again, we're a church. Banks don't lend to churches because they're poor risk and this type of thing. So I said, well, we'd love to buy your building, but we don't have $910,000. We got $500,000. And so MedLab Incorporated says, why not? We'll carry the contract for you. They carry the contract for us at 5% interest. Doesn't happen. Okay, so now we got the building. And so we're thinking, well, we'll just rally ourselves together, we'll start raising money. Well, you have a building, you got a mortgage to pay, you still have another building you got a mortgage to pay, you got two mortgages to pay, and you don't have a whole lot of money. How are you gonna get the funds together to refabricate this building or rehab the building? Another time I'm sitting in my office, my phone rings again. Jesus loves my phone. Thank you, Jesus. And so, as you know, we can't get a loan from anybody, but there was this, back in the 90s, mid-90s, or early 90s, there was a huge influx of cash in Silicon Valley. Anybody, any of you remember that, all the tech companies and that type of thing in Silicon Valley? So all of a sudden, my phone rings, and a lady from Silicon Valley Bank, she says, hello, my name is, I think her name was Esther. My name is Esther, I'm from Silicon Valley Bank. I said, well, hi, how are you doing, Esther? She says, I understand you have a church in Portland, and we've done some research on you, and you folks are doing some great things in the community. I'm thinking, how do you know that? You're in California, girl. What you been doing? You spying on us? Anyway. And she says, well, I just want to make you aware that we've made a decision because we're doing rather well in our company, and we thought we'd open another division of our company that loans specifically to churches. I am not lying. She called us. We did not call her. I said, really? Oh, well, that's Jesus. Oh, fingerprints all over it. Okay. So I said, well, she says, well, I'll bring a team. We'll fly down. We'll see what you folks have got going. Now, remember, she doesn't even know what we're doing, that we've got this rehab thing going on. And so she looks at the building and this type of thing. And so at that point, we had estimation how much it cost. At that point, it was approximately $1.8 million to finish off this building, do some things over in the next building. And so I said, well, it's about $1.8 million. Well, thank you very much. We'll go back, we'll have our board meeting, and we'll give you a call. I'm thinking, end of story. Never hear from her again. Thanks, Esther. Okay. A couple weeks later, the phone rings. Well, we had a conversation there, and she says, and you know, we just feel like if we're really gonna do this, we need to reach out to this community, so we're gonna give you a loan for $1.8 million. Do you know what the loan rested on? The building and a signature. That's it. So, oh, well, I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. So anyway, so we get in the process, and I gotta fast forward this, I'm taking more than 10 minutes. Can I just take a few more minutes? Because I just gotta tell you, because this is gonna get you revved up. Okay. So we get to that particular process. And like anything, anybody ever done a house remodel and it came in on budget? Elder Lee will tell you that you've done some rehab and budget and throw it away, right? So we're getting a little bit over budget. And so all of a sudden my contractor comes to me and he says, well, we don't have enough money to finish this. And the city came in, we got to do some seismic upgrades. I said, well, how far off are we? I'm thinking maybe 100 grand, something like this. Oh no, actually I thought 50, but I said 100 will probably, I can maybe get faith for that. Oh, he said, well, we're about $600,000 short. I know, my. And so I call Esther. I said, I've got to be honorable to you. I said, honestly, the value of this property at this particular point with the upgrades we've done to it is probably right at $1.5 million or something like this. Maybe we can take out our contract to pay you the balance. I said, we don't have the money. It's going to take another $600,000 to finish the building. She says, oh, well, let's see what we can do. Let me give you a call later. 3 days later, she calls me back. She says, you can have another $600,000. Jesus is walking us all the way through this particular process. So I want to let you know, it's the miracle of the faith of people, of you folks. It wasn't me. It was been all of you that were praying and believing God for it. Another little, other little mini miracle in there is that, and this was totally on our watch. We had some things that needed to be done. And I just want to show you the infinity of God's miracles. We had done some extra work that had to be done with contractors and stuff. And there was a bill that was overlooked, and the bill was for $95,000. Overlooked? How do you overlook 95 grand? I don't know. And so I can't remember who it was. I think it was Tom Atchison at that point brought the bill. He says, we got to pay these people $95,000 and we need to pay them by Friday. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. Now, this is a test of my faith, but God's got this, right? So I'm sitting in my office. I'm thinking, Lord, what are we going to do as a church? We don't have any extra money. They gave us another 600 grand. We can't ask them for another $95,000. And so this was before cell phones. Phone rings. The phone is a wonderful item. It's beautiful. Fellow calls me, he says, Pastor, I got to see you today. And I'm thinking, no way, Jose, I don't want to see you or anybody else. All I want to see is Jesus. He says, no, I got to see you today. And he was insistent. I said, okay, I'll see you. He says, so he walks to my office. He says, let me tell you what happened. He says, my father, who is rather wealthy fellow, had sold some property. No, he sold a business. And he had three or four kids. And he wanted to give them their inheritance ahead of time. And so he says, the Lord told me I've just got to pay a tithe on what I'm going to get for my inheritance, and I need to pay it today. If you don't believe me, I can give you his telephone number, and he'll tell you this is what happened. He came over to my office, did not tell me the amount of what it was. He hands me the check. I open the envelope. It is $95,000. I want to tell you that you are living and experiencing a miracle of God. No, we have not done everything perfectly. I've made my mistakes. Everyone's made their mistakes, but God has been the one who's been faithful every step along the way. There it is. And there it is. This is what God built. You say, how do you draw a conclusion to that? How do you really summarize all the things that we're talking about today of celebrating? The celebration is we're celebrating Jesus and his faithfulness. Amen. And the fact that there's more that he wants to do. Here's what the Bible says. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. Yes, sir. It's not about this building. It's about the people that are housed in this building. You are the house of God. And as you can see, all around us, there is building everywhere. There are more and more apartment buildings. And they're not putting up, oh, we got a nice little place to hold 30 or 40 people. There's 200 or 300 in some of these buildings. And I believe God has set us in this place at this time for an outpouring of his spirit to do the things that he wants to do. But that's just a brief history of New Song. I want you to stand to your feet and give God a great round of applause for all that he's done. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. God has been good. You can be seated.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.